Hebrews chapter 3 in your Bibles this morning. Hebrews chapter 3 to serious people. Has anybody drank out of this? Thank you. I'm going to need it. To serious people, the ending of 1 year and the beginning of a new year is a time to take inventory and plan. Three questions we ought to ask ourselves as we approach the new year. What have we done? We need to go back in our mind. And sometimes we simply need to have a wise forgetfulness of the past that Paul talked about. Second of all, what is on hand? Store takes inventory, and so should we. Third, what can I do better? It's foolish to gloss over our mistakes and our weaknesses and just drift along. I believe in resolutions. Only the lazy and the excuse makers have no interest in doing better in their life. And then we need to make resolutions, realizing that we don't have forever to incorporate them. One of three things will happen to you this next year. First of all, the rapture could take place, please. And what a wonderful thought that is. Thank you so much. Let me get a drink of water real quick. If the rapture takes place, it is going to be in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. This mortal will put on immortality, and this corruptible will put on incorruptibility. The trump may sound before I finish preaching, in which case Rick will come and dismiss the servants in prayer. Second of all, this next year, you may die. God told Hezekiah, set your house in order because you're going to die and not live. Third, we may live. Whichever of the three happens to us, it demands that we be thoroughly right with God. As we face the new year, the writer of the book of Hebrews gives us some good, sound advice. He begins each one of his four pieces of counsel with, let us therefore. First of all, let us therefore fear unbelief. Before we read the scripture in chapter 3, let me give you the setting. The setting is Israel getting ready to enter Canaan and a promised victory by God. It's really fascinating. All of this land is yours, God told them. You need to just walk in and take it. But they didn't do it. Why? Because they didn't believe God. So let's read now. Hebrews chapter 3, let's begin in verse 16. For some, when they had heard, did provoke, howbeit not all that came out of Egypt by Moses. But with whom was he grieved 40 years? Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? And to whom swore he that they should not enter into his rest, but to them that believed not. So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. Here it is. Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. For we which have believed do enter into rest, as he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. If I don't miss the mark, a lot of us will not accomplish all of which we are capable because of unbelief, because we simply don't believe God in this new year. Let us therefore fear. Of course, some fear is good. You should fear marriage. Only marry when you know it is God's perfect will. Somebody said this a long time ago, fools rush in where angels fear to tread. They're talking about marriage. Let me ask you something. Have you men taught your boys to treat every girl like they want their daughter to be treated someday? You should. Second of all, fear bad habits. Fear what smoking will do to your body. Fear what alcohol will do to your body, or drugs, or overeating, or no exercise. We need to fear bad habits. Fear sin. The Bible says, fools make a mock of sin. We live in a world that exalts sin and every possible perversion. Tina told me this morning when she got up, she picked up her phone and she looks at some of the headlines. Somebody was stopped and they looked in their car and there were body parts in totes and a human head that had been severed. You look at that and you say, how can that happen? I'll tell you how that happens. Because of sin. Sin will take you further than you want to go. It will keep you longer than you want to stay. And it will cost you far more than what you want to pay. Folks, the Bible is very, very honest with us. It talks about the pleasures of sin, and sin is pleasurable, but only for a short time, and then all the dues come to pass. You've got to learn to take the long look at sin. Sin in the short term, very pleasurable, but it will take you further than you want to go. And at the last of sin is where we need to look. I want you to go with me to the book of Proverbs. First of all, chapter 5. Book of Proverbs, chapter 5. And we're going to begin reading in verse 3, and we'll read through verse 11. For the lips of a strange woman drop as a honeycomb, and her mouth is smoother than oil. But her end is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. Her feet go down to death. Her steps take hold on hell. Lest thou shouldest ponder the path of life. Her ways are movable, that thou canst not know them. Hear me now, therefore, O ye children, and depart not from the words of my mouth, Solomon says. Remove thy way far from her, and come not near the door of her house, lest thou give thine honor unto others and thy years unto the cruel, lest strangers be filled with thy wealth and thy labors be in the house of a stranger, and thou mourn at the last when thy flesh and thy body are consumed. Go with me to Proverbs chapter 23. Proverbs chapter 23, and let's begin reading in verse 29. Who hath woe? Who hath sorrow? Who hath contentions? Who hath babbling? Who hath wounds without cause? Who hath redness of eyes? You've already figured it out. They that tarry long at the wine, they that go to seek mixed wine. Look not thou upon the wine when it is red, when it giveth its color in the cup, when it moveth itself aright. At the last, it biteth like a serpent, and it stingeth like an adder. Next, we need to fear God. One of the indictments against our generation is this: there's no fear of God before their eyes, and we see it every day. Nothing costs you more than unbelief. It blinds your eyes. It dulls your imagination. It seizes your conscience. It causes you to enter the domain of the damned. It cost Israel 40 years in the wilderness. Unbelief is not always hostile. Sometimes it's just neutral or apathetic. If you go to Mark chapter 1, in that chapter, Christ is talking to an individual and he simply says, "Leave us alone. Just leave me alone." Not hostile, just leave me alone. Second of all, let us therefore labor. Go back to Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. And look at verse 11. Let us labor therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. It takes hard work to do good things. Nothing worthwhile comes easy. Folks, it's part of the curse that was placed upon this world, and God said it was for our sake. He didn't do it to make us mad. He did it for our sake. Men used of God were willing to work hard. I'll tell you what would be some hard work. And if you ever have a chance, go to Kentucky and look at the ark. When God told Noah to build the ark, that's a big boat. But he did it, and it was hard work to the saving of his family and the animal kingdom as we know it today. Nehemiah, the walls were destroyed around Jerusalem, and he got concerned about it. And God used him to supervise the rebuilding of the walls, but it was a tough job. The key verse is in Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 6. The Bible says this: they built the walls because the people had a mind to work. Everything worthwhile requires hard work. Paul worked hard. He will say under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, in labors more abundant. He was talking about himself. Great success stories are always accompanied with one attitude: they were willing to work hard. Athletes willing to practice 8 hours a day. People in business, they get there early and they stay late. Unless you're an inside trader like Mrs. Pelosi, she made $17 million last year. That's not a success story, ladies and gentlemen. That's a crime story, and everybody knows it. Yeah. a lot of folks who sit on the sidelines and never do anything. They gripe and they complain about anyone who has anything. Great churches are built when someone is willing to work hard and to pay a price. Dr. Salk worked hard and he gave us the polio vaccine. A lack of a work ethic will kill your marriage, your church, and your spirit. A fella told me one time, well, I'm afraid I'm going to work too hard. I've got good news for that individual. No one ever drowned in sweat. Work hard. Third, the Bible says, let us hold fast our profession. Look at verse 14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. Now go with me to chapter 10, Hebrews chapter 10, and look at verse 23 that basically says the same thing. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. You as a believer and you as a Baptist ought to know what you believe. You need to read and study your Bible. You need to keep it fresh and new in your heart. Know something about life and principle and integrity. Sunday ought to be a sacred day to you, and I'm preaching to the choir. You are here. But there should be no arguments about coming to church. Just go. Worship God. I guarantee you, Mother never took a vote on a Sunday morning if her family ought to go to church. She just said, we're going. And that's how it was. And I'm glad my mother had the integrity and the principles to get us kids all dressed and give us, I always got a dime to put in the offering plate. God bless you, Mama. The tithe is holy unto the Lord. There's no discussion about that. Everyone here knows it's the right thing. Know what you believe and then keep your principles. There was a young high school girl that got saved and she started serving Christ. She wanted so much to see her mom and dad saved. But mom and dad were success-oriented. And they were somewhat provoked because she was all the time talking to them about Jesus. They came up with a thought. We will buy a brand new sports car. And we will give it to her if she will stop talking to us about Jesus and about the church. So they told her, you can have the car, but you've got to quit the church. With great emotion, that young lady said this, you keep the car, I'll keep Jesus. Hold fast your profession. Last of all, let us therefore come boldly. Chapter 4, once again in Hebrews, and verse 16. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Let us therefore come boldly. God is never too busy for us. And we need him more today than we've ever needed him ever in our lives. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your wonderful word. Jesus, thank you for your willingness to go to the cross for us. Holy Spirit, thank you for speaking to our heart. We know that every time your word is preached, you speak to people's hearts. And we are thankful that you are faithful to do that every time when we come to this place and we sing about the Word of God and we hear the Word of God preached. Your Holy Spirit just speaks to our heart, and sometimes it's him telling us that we need to change some things. And sometimes it's him just saying, you need to be so thankful for what God's done for you. So, dear Father, I pray this morning, if there's anyone here that's not saved, that today might be the day of salvation, that when we give the invitation in a couple of moments, that they'll come forward and we can show them how to go to heaven. Oh, Father, thank you for the sweet story of salvation. And then, dear Father, for those who are saved, as we anticipate this new year, we think about how good you've been to us. We think we need to do some things that's going to make us better equipped to do the work that you've called us to do. Oh, God, help us in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand, ladies and gentlemen.